This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. It's time to turn that frown upside down. Welcome to Wrestling with Optimism, where the world isn't ending and wrestling is still fun.
Welcome everyone back again to Wrestling with Optimism. It's been a little bit of a break, but we have a good one here for you. We are without Brad Stutz this week. He is, as they used to say on WTBS when Tony Schiavone or David Crockett would open the show, the other person is on assignment. So Brad is on assignment. We're just going to go with that. Dan McGinn is here always because he is the producer, so you wouldn't hear the show if he was not the producer. Dan, how are you, sir?
A little stressed out, but we got the show going, so I'm happy. Basil's happy, and I'm looking forward to this one. It's been a long time coming. This is episode number 4 of our edition of Wrestling with Optimism, so can't complain.
Well, we've been focusing a lot on the History of Wrestling podcast here lately, especially with Dusty's passing and the episode before then. And oddly enough, we were talking about the Dusty finish. That was the whole basis of the show. But we want to put a little bit more focus on optimism, put a little bit more focus on people within the industry right now who are doing some cool stuff. And we got one of those today. And if you don't know the name, you know the product probably by this point. Ed Allen, who is the name and force behind WrestleCrate. Ed, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. And I got to tell you, I think it was probably about WrestleMania season when I was on Twitter and I started seeing this thing pop up every now and then. And it was sign up now for a male subscription based wrestling stuff. You get a box and you don't know what it is. You don't know what's in the box every month. You open it up and it's all wrestling related stuff. And I saw it, and this was, it had to be early on in your promotion of it. And I just thought, one, that is brilliant because we get here at my house, my wife signs up for every one of those kind of boxes that you can think of, but they all seem to be female based. It's like Birchbox or it's makeup or it's organic food, but it's not really guy stuff. And, you know, obviously girls can like wrestling too, but this kind of helps even things out a little bit.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much how we got started, was just, you know, just hearing about other crates and stuff. Me and my son, we subscribe to Loot Crate. Loot Crate, it's a same concept, but it's kind of geared towards, kind of nerd stuff, Star Wars and comic books,
right.
And things like that. And, you know, me and my son were subscribed to that, and we got, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 crates in a row my son wasn't too happy with, and he's 8. And me and him are both, you know, big into wrestling. We watch wrestling every week together. And he said, Dad, why don't they ever do a wrestling one? And I just kind of thought, like, well, I don't know. Let's see if they have a wrestling, you know, subscription service. So I looked it up and didn't see it, and then I just decided to go with it. You know, I've always kind of been just a go-getter, try things out and see if it sticks to the wall, and I just fired it up and did it.
What goes into something like that? Because for me, when you think about, when you open up one of those kind of crates, any kind of one of those crates, and you think about partnering with every single one of those businesses, and I'm sure having to buy things in bulk and all that, what goes into that for someone who has no concept whatsoever?
When we first started, WrestleCrate was the name I wanted, so I, you know, made sure the website and everything was there. So I purchased the website and then got my business license and got a trademark on the name. And then that's when I started, you know, reaching out to different companies and, you know, finding out about buying stuff in bulk that people would want in the wrestling industry. You know, I reached out to Mattel and Pop Vinyl and Pro Wrestling Tees and those guys there for T-shirts. And everything just kind of came together. I had about when I first started it, and you're right, it was right around WrestleMania, it was I think our website went live the first week of March. So when I first started it, I had about a month and 3 week window to get everything together before the launch. And, you know, I was just kind of advertising on, you know, Reddit and, you know, with a couple YouTubers. So I really didn't know what to expect. And, you know, all of a sudden it just kind of blew up out of nowhere. You know, I was kind of expecting just starting off and only having that much time to promote it and stuff. I was only expecting like 50 or so subscriptions. And I think the first month we started out with almost 300.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. So, you know, I had to keep calling and ordering more stuff because I didn't want to overorder, but I didn't want to underorder, but I was just overwhelmed with the response to it right from the start.
So has this kind of overtaken your life in the past few months?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. It's just nonstop every day. I still have a full-time job, you know, that I've been at for 15 years, and, you know, I have a fiance and a kid, and just trying to juggle all that, and, you know, it's starting to become a full-time job in itself.
Have you considered not having the job or the fiance or the kid?
Right. I'll keep the kid, but the full-time job and the fiance, those might be going. I'm just kidding. My fiance has been a tremendous help. I mean, she's done a lot for me as far as helping with ordering and doing paperwork and almost, you know, almost like a secretary. So she's been a tremendous help.
I can only imagine how many man hours have gone into just packing the boxes.
Yeah, that's the toughest part. You know, we started out, I was just doing it out of a spare bedroom in our house, and, you know, we've kind of grown out of the spare bedroom with it. On days that we ship out, we've done two shipments so far, and the days leading up to shipping out, I've worked two 16-hour days in a row just on packing boxes and getting everything ready, and that's with people helping out. So,
now, where are you located roughly?
We're located in the Cincinnati area, right outside of Cincinnati.
I was going to say, if you are anywhere near North Carolina, I will drive to your house and help with the packing. That's how awesome this sounds. So tell me a little bit about some of the response that you've received, because I know you've received a lot. As soon as I got my first box, I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. I'm tweeting this right now. Who have you heard from that maybe kind of surprised you?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I've had a couple WWE stars follow me on Twitter and just message me and say, hey, it's awesome you're doing this. Blue Pants, she's really into it. Leva Bates, Bull Dempsey, he's really into it. Shane Helms, there's a couple different wrestling stars who have, you know, reached out to me and said, hey, this is awesome. We're glad you're doing this. And, you know, it's been, you know, just cool to me because I'm a fan of wrestling. And, you know, it's just sure. It's just out of business to me. It's, you know, I enjoy doing it. I like doing it. It's just great.
Well, I'm sure it's a great avenue for the major companies like Mattel to distribute their products even more. But at the same time, I'm sure it's an opportunity for smaller wrestling businesses to get the word out about what they do.
Yeah, that's one of my big things. I want it completely to be, you know, an all-around wrestling crate. You know, I just don't want it to be a WWE box. It would be easy just to put, you know, wrestling figures and comic books in the crate every month, you mm-hmm. know, from WWE. But I want it to be more than that. You know, I want it to be from all different independent wrestlers and independent promotions and, you know, just an all around pro wrestling crate that highlights everybody in the industry.
Now with the ones that I walk everyone through, because I'm starting to think that maybe the box that I get is maybe not what everyone would get, but what are the different options that as a customer they have to sign up?
There's two different price points. Well, there's really four, but I'll get into that. There's a standard crate, which starts at $14.99, and for shirts 2X and above, it's $1.50 more, so it's $16.49. And then there's the Ultimate Crate, which is $29.99, and then $1.50 more for shirts that are 2X and above. We actually have more subscribers to the Ultimate Crate, which really surprised me. And really the big difference between those is you'll just get the WWE Elite figures in the Ultimate Crate to where, you know, because of the price of them, we just couldn't put them in the standard crate because, you know, they cost almost as much as the crate does itself.
Right.
You know, and also, you know, higher end things, you know, possibly books and wrestlers' autographs and things like that. Those will more than likely just go into the Ultimate Crate just because of the price points of the stuff.
Now, I got to walk people through what I received just as an example in one or two of the crates. I got the Brock Lesnar WrestleMania 30 Elite figure. I got a Macho Man koozie. I got a signed Abyss 8x10. I got a fantastic, I don't know what the actual name of the shirt is, but it's the Reservoir Dogs with the luchador masks. So, I mean, right there, you're looking at the value far exceeding what you're paying for it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of our goals. We want it to have value in the boxes. And we hope people see that value. For the most part, every crate will have a t-shirt in it, and all the t-shirts come from Pro Wrestling Tees and Barbershop Window, and all of those shirts are $20 themselves on the website. So even a standard crate at $14.99, you're getting a $20 shirt, you know, right off the bat. Not even counting, you know, what extra is inside of it. So, I mean, on average, the it's going to be about double of what you pay for the crate is going to be the value of the crate.
So how long did it take you from the idea to actually having it up and running? How many months or even longer went into that?
I think we started the idea and I started researching everything in January, mid-January.
And oh, then, wow.
Yeah, I got the website up and everything done and, you know, up by the 1st of March. When the website first, you know, went up, it wasn't how I wanted it to be. You know, we've done a lot of work to the website to make it, you know, a lot more appealing and look a lot better. But when we first got it up, you know, I wasn't too happy with it, but I knew it would be a work in progress. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just took the ball and ran with it and just got it done as quick as I can because, you know, myself, I was like, wow, this is such a great idea. Why hasn't anyone else done this? And so my feeling was, wow, I better get it up and going before somebody else does.
Sure, sure. And it could be before long you do have competition to some degree because it is just it's money on the table.
Right. Now, competition's good, you know.
It
those people up the ante and make their box the best.
Sure, sure. Now I saw recently and by the time we're recording this, the deadline by the time everyone listens to this, let me put it that way, the deadline for WrestleCrate 3, I'm saying that like WrestleMania 3, WrestleCrate 3 will have passed, but I saw that there was already some partnership there with Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, for WrestleCrate 3, I got in contact with Jerry Lawler and some people that he works with, and we were able to get some exclusive autographed items from him that we're going to randomly insert into the crates for WrestleCrate 3. I believe there's around 20 items or so that's going to be inserted, and it's just going to – I'm just going to go to random.org and, you know, put a spreadsheet in and just pick them that way. And then whoever's lucky enough to get one gets it.
So 20 items, roughly how many orders do you think are going to get WrestleCrate 3?
I think we're over 1,000.
So those odds are not too great.
Right. Okay. It's a great item, though. I mean, whoever gets it, I think is going to be ecstatic with what they are.
So wait, for the first box, you had about 300. Now, for the third box, you've tripled that.
Yes. The second, we've pretty much doubled every time. The second one, I had around 550 or so. And then now the third one, we're about over 1,000. So we've doubled every month.
So what are the plans going forward? Do you have some ultimate goal that you want to reach or a partnership that you want to work on that you haven't yet?
Just talking behind the scenes, you know, with the larger companies, Funko and those, you know, they kind of already see that it's going really, really well. So we're working on getting some exclusive items through those companies, you know, exclusive figures that are going to be exclusive only to WrestleCrate. I think that would be really cool, you know, because people like collector's items like that.
Absolutely.
So, and you know, I'm teetering, playing with the idea of themes, doing some themed boxes maybe, you know, once every 3 or 4 months. The only problem with that, it's kind of hard to narrow down and get enough items to make a theme. But, you know, we're just kind of looking into that also, so because people have expressed interest in it.
Now, what are some of the ways that you're helping? And I'm sure at this point you have a lot of customers doing this for you. But what are some ways that you're helping promoting what you're doing?
What's really helped out a lot is you know, a lot of the YouTube personalities doing unboxings on their channels. You know, they have, you know, do wrestling shows or what have you on YouTube, and that's kind of how I got started. You know, I reached out to them when I first got started, and I sent them a crate and said, hey, would you unbox this on your channel for me? And you know, they did it, and that's kind of how we've grown. It's just through the YouTube channels, and it's amazing what social media could do. It could be your friend, it could be your enemy too, but right now social media has totally been our push.
The YouTube is really interesting. That's not something I would have thought of. Do you work in marketing?
I do not. No.
Okay.
I did a long time ago, but not now.
Okay, so that's just a double kudos for you. I wouldn't even considered that. Well, how about have you considered doing any of the fan conventions or making appearances there?
Yeah, we're looking at that in the future. We're going to start off. We're going to do the Cincinnati Comic Con, which is in September, I believe. And we're going to do a few others that are around here, like Columbus and Lexington, Louisville, in this area. We're going to try to get to those.
If you're going to Louisville, you need to hang out with Cornette.
Right.
Because I'm certain he would love something like that.
Yeah, we would love to have him, you know, get a booth and come hang out with us. That would be awesome.
Well, the reason I pitched that is we have a few conventions here in North Carolina. And obviously where Dan is up in New England, they have one, it seems like, every other day.
Right.
So obviously that would take some travel. But once you guys get to that point, that might be something to consider.
Yeah, my ultimate goal is by next year, I'd love to go to WrestleCon. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, for WrestleMania and be there for WrestleMania. You know, that's my goal for the year, is to be big enough to make it there and, you know, and be known when we're there.
Sure. Well, I think you're certainly on your way. How about, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to break, and we're going to hear about all the other shows here on the Place to Be Nation. When we come back, we're going to get to know about Ed the Fan, not Ed just the WrestleCrate guy. So we'll do that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, Our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Griscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PeakToBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceMeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PeakToBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
The Place to Be Nation and Pro Wrestling Only are proud to present the PWO PTBN Podcast Network. Join us for a variety of great shows that explore all the facets of professional wrestling.
Join good old Will from Texas for our Place to Be Nation reaction shows and Goodwill Wrestling, which has been kicking since before JR had barbecue sauce.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play and join Chad and Parv as they discuss classic NWA and WCW pay-per-view.
And take in one of our newest podcasts, Exile on Bed Street, and allow Chris Zellner to give you a history lesson about important moments in wrestling's colorful past.
Listen to Johnny, Pete, Parv, and Kelly, the titans of wrestling, as they examine in depth the history of the WWF in the 1970s and 1980s.
And then there's Brainbuster, the wrestling game show, tag teams back again, the Pro Wrestling Super Show, the All Japan Excite Series, and the Super Extreme Vault for some ECW.
You can hear all of these great podcasts and more on one feed. Remember, PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network, part of the Place to Be Nation family.
Place to Be Nation, we are with Ed Allen, who is the name and force behind WrestleCrate, which is really taken over the wrestling industry over the past couple months. A subscription-based service. Every month you get an awesome box of mystery wrestling-related items. You don't know what they are until you open the box. And we talked a little bit about that in the first segment, but what I want to do now is kind of get to know Ed as the wrestling fan, the person that years before he had the idea to do WrestleCrate. What got you into wrestling, Ed?
Growing up, my uncle, he was a huge wrestling fan, so he would always take me and my cousin were about the same age, so whenever, you know, wrestling was in town, he would always take us to the shows. And, you know, I just remember being, I don't know, 9 or 10, 11, and you know, watching shows with him on TV and going to the Cincinnati Gardens and watching shows. And that's kind of where it all started.
What kind of time frame would that have been?
That would have been mid-80s.
So would that have been Crockett and WWF, or just one or the other?
It was a little bit of both. I remember watching Crockett and them on TV, and then going and seeing WWF at the shows around here. I think I never got to see Crockett and them live. I always watched them on TV, but we always went to the WWF shows that came in town.
What do you remember about those shows? I always love to have that conversation with people about their first show, or, you know, I happened to leave or show up early or whatever and bumped into so-and-so. What do you remember about your first show?
I just remember the guys being larger than life, and, you know, just me as a kid just looking up and, you know, just going wow to myself. And whenever we went to the shows, we would always go to, there was a spot at the Cincinnati Gardens where all the wrestlers would always exit, and they would stop and sign autographs or whatever, and stop and talk to people. And I just remember going there with my cousin and uncle, and, you know, when the wrestlers would walk by, just being in awe. And then, you know, the one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind is I remember the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov just totally staying in character, you know, when they were walking to their cars or their bus or wherever they were going, and yelling at the parents and shooing the kids away, and, you know, just kind of almost being afraid of them because, you know, they were really the people that they were in the ring still, you know, and me not knowing, thinking that's who they were and what they were, which was, you know, really cool now looking back on it.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Sheik in that instance. I spoke with someone when I was working on the most recent book on the Baltimore Arena, who saw Sheik and Slaughter in probably 84, somewhere around there. And he and his dad, I think this is his first show, and they're standing outside the venue before the show, and they're waiting on wrestlers to show up. And he's got the Sergeant Slaughter poster with him that he made. And he looks down, and he sees Sheik's, you know, the trademark boots that curl up. And he looks up, and it's Sheik. He's right in front of him. And there's no one else around. It's just he and his dad. And Sheik goes completely out of character. And he goes, "Oh, little boy here with his dad come to watch wrestling. Good boy, good boy." And pats him on the head and walks away. But as soon as he hit the crowd, as soon as everyone else there saw that Sheik was outside and they start booing him and whatever, goes right back into character. And he goes, "Oh, get away from me, kid." And then, but before he walks inside, he turns back to the kid and winks at him.
That's great. I mean, that had to be a memory that, you know, stuck with him, obviously. That is great.
Yeah, I love those little stories like that. So you're a kid, you're young, you're a fan in the 80s. Who are you gravitating towards?
Around that time, it was, you know, Sergeant Slaughter, and I remember liking Hillbilly Jim a lot for whatever reason, because he was from Kentucky, and I actually lived in Kentucky at the time, and of course Hulk Hogan, you know, just the bigger name guys. Heel wise, I remember King Kong Bundy for some reason stuck out to me. I was a fan of his. And then as I got older, I kind of gravitated towards, you know, WCW during the Monday Night Wars for whatever reason. I was pretty true to WCW during that time, and I just, you know, NWO and all those guys, and I guess I was in my teens, early 20s around that time.
It's interesting that you became a diehard WCW fan. What about them?
As far as what happened?
As far as what sucked you in and what kind of made you cross that line?
I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, I think it was Sting and you know, the shows they put on, and, you know, when Hogan went over there, and, you know, when all the WWF guys started going over to WCW, it just, for whatever reason, I just liked the production and the show better.
It did seem to have more going on to a certain point than what you might find on Raw.
Yeah, and you know, and I went through all of it, and I just remember when I knew WCW was done, it was I can't remember who the dog was, but they had a cat versus dog match, and it was Ernest the Cat Miller versus a guy they called Dog, and he used to really act like a dog. They would catch him, like, licking out of the toilet and stuff like that. And that's when I was like, "Oh my God, they're falling apart." I wish for my life I could remember who Dog was, but I remember it was a cat versus dog match, and it was Ernest the Cat Miller. But it just sticks in my mind for whatever reason. And shortly after that,
that's for all the wrong reasons too. What sticks in your mind? It sticks in your mind for the wrong reasons.
Right? Yes, because I knew the product I loved and, you know, invested so many years into was just falling apart.
So at what point did you kind of become a little bit smarter to the industry? And how did that affect your fandom?
I think when the internet, you know, became popular, and, you know, you start reading all this stuff, and you know, start reading what's really going on behind the scenes and how everything works. And, you know, I think the internet really changed wrestling for, I don't know, you could say it's good or bad. It had ways that made it good, had ways that made it bad. But I think, you know, when the internet came, it completely changed everything about wrestling.
Yeah, I think what we saw come out of that was really a large demographic of fans, of diehard fans, that became just, how can I put it? I think a lot more cynical, maybe.
Yeah,
because they know how everything works, and so it should work better, and it should work, you know, to a higher level than what it has, just because we know how it works now.
Right, and, you know, the whole spoiler aspect, and everybody wants to know before somebody else, and and all of that stuff. And, you know,
are you a spoiler fan?
I am not. No,
me neither.
I do not read spoilers on TV shows. I watch wrestling, anything. I want to see it happen. I don't want to know before it happens.
I think SmackDown especially gets a bad rap because, you know, you can so easily find out what happens before it airs. And then when you're watching it, there's no surprises.
Right.
But I will go out of my way not to mess with that stuff. I think it takes you out of the show.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you become uninterested. You know, you're like, oh, I already know what happened, so I'm not even going to pay attention.
Yeah, let's wrap the match up. I know what happens next. Yeah, I agree. Was there any point where you kind of took a break? Because I've talked about that a few times, too.
Yeah, I think, let's see, it was after the DX era. I would say probably 2000... Let me think about this. Probably around 2005 or 6 until about 2010. I wasn't into it as much as I had been. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my life was changing. I had my son around that time and, you know, making a family. So I really didn't put as much effort into it to watch it, you know, but then as my son, you know, started getting older and liking it, then he kind of actually brought me back in.
So it wasn't necessarily that the quote unquote product turned you away. You just had other priorities.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. No,
there's some pretty bad wrestling. So,
well, sure. Of course you have. We all have. You mentioned your son. Now, what got him into it?
I'm not quite sure. Just, I think just one day we were channel surfing and it was on there and we just watched it. He liked it. And then it just kind of grew back on me and grew on him at the same time.
Do you remember what it was about what you guys were watching that kind of hooked you back in? Or was it any particular wrestler or segment or anything to that degree?
I think it was during the CM Punk, Paul Heyman time.
Okay.
Is what it was. I kind of took a liking to CM Punk. And, you know, I think that's what kind of done it.
That makes perfect sense. Have you attended any pay-per-views or bumped into any guys that left an impression on you?
Yeah, I actually work at the airport, so I see a lot. I've met a lot of guys that are super awesome. Just off the top of my head, Rob Van Dam is just a super nice guy. Just, you know, he just sat and talked to me for a good 15 or 20 minutes just about, you know, anything and everything. And he was just so nice and he didn't act like, all right, hurry up in this. You know, he was bringing stuff up to me and talking about the business and everything. So I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, I've met a lot of people. I remember Lana and Rusev. I met them at the airport, and they kind of stayed in character a little bit. Mm-hmm. They were a little, I don't want to say rude, but they were just stern and themselves, I guess.
Right.
But God, just so many people I've met. Recently, Cincinnati's had a good run of shows. We had a Raw last month, and we had SmackDown in September or October, I believe. And then we have another SmackDown coming in October.
So the big local hero there would be Dean Ambrose, right?
Yes. And
how has that area taken to Dean?
I think generally they like him. He's kind of a quiet hero with, you know, I don't think he's like a household name per se, but any wrestling fan in the Cincinnati area really likes Dean Ambrose. I ran into him, and he is the day before my son's birthday, and I was just talking to him, and he did a video for my son. It was like, hey, Aiden, happy birthday. Or whatever, you know, on my phone, which was really cool. And, you know, my son was ecstatic about that. You know, he was a super cool, nice guy.
He could do that for me too, and I would be just as excited.
Okay, so what we typically do here on History, I'm sorry. I almost got the name of the show wrong because we've been doing that one for so long. What we typically do here on Wrestling with Optimism is we close the show with, and we say close the show, but there's a lot of questions, so it takes a while. It's not exactly a one-off, with some standard questions to kind of get to know our subject a little bit better. Dan, do you want to start us off?
I do, actually, because I don't want the Twitter Nation to bombard us with this. I want to cover up a loose end, or tie up a loose end, rather. The dog was portrayed by a Tampa native by the name of Al Green. He was trained by Steve Kern, and he had other names. He was Rage, he was Blade, he was Bounty Hunter number one. And he was also the dog that you mentioned from 2000 WCW. So
wait, when you say Rage, was he Robbie Rage from High Voltage?
Let's see. I'm reading. This is from Wikipedia here. While the team with while the team with the Terminator was a makeshift team at first, they began teaming regularly first under the name the Terminators and later as the Wrecking Crew, where the Terminator
Now I know better who you're talking about. Gotcha.
You're like, I can name that wrestler in 8 words. You know, there he is. So, yeah.
I still look for that match to try to find it, and I haven't been able to find it. If anybody has that match, please send it to me. Info at WrestleCrate.com. A link to it. Cat versus dog.
Cat versus dog. That might be our YouTube clip of the week there, Graham.
I bet we could find that. I bet we could find a date pretty quickly on that one.
Well, anyway, sorry to take you on that detour. The first question here is your earliest inspiration or influence in wrestling?
I think it was the story I told earlier about the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov, just being a young kid and looking up to them and them being larger than life and just portraying that image of who they were in the ring outside of the ring. And, you know, I was just taken back by that, like, wow, these guys are the real deal and they scare me. So I think that was kind of my first thing that really turned me on to wrestling was seeing them in person.
All right, second question, and this one, you've got a lot of options here. Who is your favorite Intercontinental Champion?
Favorite Intercontinental Champion? I have to probably go with the Ultimate Warrior.
Why?
He's electrifying. You know, he's a high voltage, just brought a lot of emotion and just 100 miles an hour all the time. And, you know, I just like that.
I love that Warrior Rude series. I thought that was great from both guys. All right, Dan, what's your next one?
Next one. Who is your favorite monster, madman, freak, or weirdo? And I'd imagine that's in wrestling there, Graham.
Yeah, right.
Huh. Favorite weirdo man. Mankind is the obvious choice. You know, he's my favorite wrestler overall. But going back a little bit, I remember Raven from WCW. I used to kind of dig him. He was a little weird and out there when he had Raven's Flock, and I think that's what the name of it was. The Brood, I kind of like them too. So kind of a couple answers there, cheating a little bit.
That's okay. We can cheat. It's our show. Dinner with 5 people, living or dead.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
You can have dinner with 5 people, living or dead. Who are they?
In wrestling?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, wow. 5 people, living or dead. Paul Heyman. Abraham Lincoln. Oh wow, this is a tough one. CM Punk, because I do find him interesting. Lana, and my mom. Does she count?
She does count. Yes.
She's awesome.
She's a person, right?
Yeah. Sometimes.
I like that
combo of your mom and Abraham Lincoln, and then a whole bunch of extra people.
Very random.
And your Abraham Lincoln would probably just hang out by themselves because they don't understand those weird wrestling people.
Right.
I was going to say, is this Abe Lincoln the president or the vampire slayer?
A president.
Okay. All right, the next one. Fantasy dream match, living or dead?
Fantasy dream match. Mankind versus New Jack.
I'm just trying to visualize that. Who takes the crazy bumps? Both of them?
Yeah, both of them. That's why it'd be so awesome. Hell in a Cell. Mankind versus New Jack.
Does New Jack's music play the entire match?
That would make it better.
Yes, it would.
I think it would.
Just on a loop.
Yeah.
Is this the ECW Arena Hell in a Cell?
Sure.
It would probably be the size of the venue.
Right. It'd be seating for 50.
Right, right. And then New Jack would have to somehow bring the brawl over to those poor 50 people.
All right. What do you think about most? The past, the present, or the future?
The future, definitely. I'm always planning for the future. What's ahead? What's next? The past is behind us. Can't change it. The present's always changing to the future and the past, so why think about it?
Good answer.
Mm-hmm. If you won the lottery tomorrow, what would you be doing 6 months from now? I suppose besides giving us wrestle crates for free.
Yes, I'll give you guys wrestle crates for free.
Dan.
What?
He is a small business owner.
He just won the lottery.
Well, how much do I win? Is it a $20 scratch-off or is it millions?
Powerball, Mega Millions, set for life, don't have to work another day.
I would do a lot of traveling, just all over the world, some places I want to go to and see. Maybe do an RV to pay-per-views every month, road trips.
God.
You know, that would be great. Like the guys who do the trips to the ballparks, do the same thing to the baseball games. Just do trips to Rawls and pay-per-views and an RV.
Oh, I have a new life goal now. It's that. All right, last question. If you knew you would die tomorrow, how would you spend your last day?
With my son. Just doing whatever his little heart desired. I would say, hey, free open day for you, sir. What do you want to do? And he would lead the way.
What do you think he'd have you do?
Go to Toys R Us for a little while. Probably go to the movies. Play video games. And watch wrestling. I think that's what the day would consist of.
All right. You and your son and I have very similar mindsets. Well, Ed, I greatly appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and spending some time with us today. Share all of your information for our listeners on how to find you and how to sign up and all the different things that they can do with your products.
Okay. You can go to WrestleCrate.com. Crates start at $14.99 a month and go up to $31.49 a month. You could email me questions or concerns or anything, info@WrestleCrate.com. You could find us on Twitter @WrestleCrates with an S, or search WrestleCrate on Facebook. We also have Instagram accounts and I think somebody helps us out, set up a Pinterest account. I don't do Pinterest, so I don't know too much about that. She takes care of it. So we're on all pretty much of the major social medias.
Well, that's a great, and obviously the YouTube unboxings is another way to for folks on maybe on the edge, not really sure if they want to sign up or not, to get a better glimpse as to what you guys have to offer.
Yeah, yeah. I love watching the unboxing. It's great. I really do take into account customer feedback and make small changes. Like, we're having a problem, just for instance, I'm sorry to go off subject a little bit. We're having a problem with boxes we're using. There are boxes that folded into the front. And, you know, I was watching the unboxing videos, and people were having so much trouble getting those boxes open. I guess just because of how they folded in, and then you had the stuff inside of them kind of pushing up against it, and with the tape, they were kind of hard to pull open. So we changed the boxes this month to where they open from the front. So, you know, just little things like that, you know, we want to make better. People weren't happy about white shirts, so you're not going to get a white shirt this month. It is going to be a colored shirt. And so we do listen to people. We want to know what people think and like. And we also, if you're in the wrestling industry and you have, you're a small wrestling business and you do, you know, any kind of wrestling products, reach out to us. We'll be glad to work with you, whether it's buttons, art, paintings, pictures, whatever, anything like that. We are open, and, you know, we want to work with people like that. We want to get all types of wrestling merchandise and products and a WrestleCrate.
You and I will be talking.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We will be in touch. I'd love to have you back on at some point and just kind of touch base and see how things are going and how the business is growing. Cause I think what you've done in such a relatively short period of time is from an outsider's point of view, very inspirational. Like, hey guys, I kind of took this idea and created an entire new niche for myself within the wrestling industry. And I think there's a lot more opportunities out there to do that, but it kind of takes that creative mindset and also the mentality of let's just do it. So I congratulate you on that. That's fantastic.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I can't. So many people have helped us out, and it's a lot of it, as much as I have done, it's more attributed to the people that's helped us out. You know, whether it's you having me on the show and people doing unboxing videos on YouTube, people on Twitter, you know, it's just had such great feedback, and I can't thank the people enough.
Well, thanks again. We will have you on very soon, and we will be back with all of you guys in the very near future for another Wrestling with Optimism, in which we have on another guest who's making waves within the wrestling industry. Thanks for having us, and we'll talk again with you soon. I wasn't paid enough. I kept them on cause I couldn't afford a haircut. I got laughed at, I got chumped, I got dissed. I got upset, I got a tick and a banana clip. Was down the throat, I led to any Dylan Jack can. I still have been broke, so a lot of good I would've did or done. If not for bad luck, I wouldn't have none. Why did I have to live a life of such a bad one? Why when I was a kid and played, I was a sad one? And always wanted to live like just a fat one. I walk.